Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Reminding you, in Luke 17:1 in the Amplified, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, stumbling blocks, or in the New King James says, offenses will come, are sure to come, is what it says. But woe to him through whom they come. We all have differences of opinions. Amen?
Yeah.
We all come from different backgrounds. We're all raised a different way. And, well, let's just do this morning. How many of y'all like cold weather? Raise your hand. There's something wrong with all you people. I'm just going to tell you. Amen? How many of y'all like hot weather?
Yeah.
Glory to God. See, we win. We win. God, you see that? Hallelujah. I believe he heard our cry this morning. You can't go to the lake in cold weather.
That's right.
We all have preferences in things. Like in our house, we have someone in our home that does not like cheese. Amen.
That's right.
See, I'm offended at him for not liking cheese. What can you cook without cheese?
Baked potato
without cheese? What?
Is there a casserole that you can make without cheese? There's absolutely no casserole that does not call for cheese.
Enchiladas without cheese? No. We all like steaks differently. There's some of you that like them well done. You know I did when we first got married, right?
But I taught you my ways.
She did.
Actually, all it took was, honey, we're sitting here at this table and we're waiting for them to burn your steak back there. If you get your steak cooked medium rare, you can have it faster. And he said, what?
Amen.
That is a revelation I've never heard in my life.
Glory to God.
I want my food now, so I'm going to get it rare.
How many of y'all like the color blue? All right. How many of y'all like red better? See, we need to pray for the blue people. Y'all know that. Some of us like elephants over donkeys. Some of us, when we talk about the shot, people's blood pressure goes high, right? Everybody has differences of opinions. But Jesus said, you've been warned,
offenses
are going to come.
Don't be surprised. It's going to happen. And then the second thing that we talked about was take offense, right? And then we talked about taking every thought captive. We've got to do that.
Yeah, because being offended and taking the offense is completely two different things.
Exactly.
We all make assumptions, and offense will build offense. And there's always going to be something that's going to come in the way.
Right.
There's somebody that's not going to call you back. There's somebody that's not going to call or text you back. There's somebody that's not going to comment on your post or like the post that you share or something out there. We can all find something to be offended about, take offense.
And we often will build different kinds of fences, right? You know, sometimes like a little thing happens and it's just like a cute little white picket fence, which isn't really that cute because no offense is good. But you think that it's okay to have that little white fence up and you have that little fence. But sometimes we build big old brick walls, don't we? And it makes it really hard to take that offense down whenever you have that brick and mortar wall.
So rather than taking the offense, we need to take every thought captive to the obedience
yes.
of Christ.
Amen.
Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And can I tell you something? This is going to be work. Mm-hmm. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Sometimes we have to talk ourselves into it.
Yep.
The Bible says, say unto this mountain, be thou removed. And if you want your thoughts to line up mm-hmm. to a particular pattern, you've got to say it out of your mouth, because what you say out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as you begin to speak in the shower or wherever you are by yourself, speak about that situation. I'm going to choose not to be offended. I know he said, till death do us part. And I know at this particular place right now, he is super offending me. And all the ladies said, oh, come on. I'm making sure you're awake. But you got to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Talk yourself into it. Don't get offended.
Right. Number three was resentment. A lot of times you have resentment. But the solution is you got to know who you are in Christ. So you don't hold those things that somebody said about you a long time ago. Somebody might have said your nose is crooked in high school and you have that resentment against that person. But if you know who you are in Christ, you know that you're beautiful and God created you and made something good. Right? And that's how you get past resentment, is know who you are in Christ.
And a thing you need to know about resentment is this: everyone sees it.
Yep.
I'm going to say it one more time. Thing about resentment is everyone sees it. Mom, your kids see it. And it may not even be offense against the kids. It may be offense against another family member way down the road, a grandpappy's pappy's pappy. But if you're holding on to an offense, I promise you it's going to affect your relationship with your kids.
Yes.
It's going to affect your relationship with your husband. It's going to affect the relationships that you have inside of employment.
Yep.
So be very careful. Don't let it settle in.
Number four, we talked about broken relationships, because broken relationships bleed into every area of your other relationships, kind of like what we were talking about before with the resentment. It bleeds into your marriage. If you have bitterness and issues in that one relationship, it's going to go into your kids. It's going to go other different places. So we got to learn how to walk in love. Amen?
Amen. And don't just talk in love. Let's walk in love. I'm going to say that again. Let's not just talk in love. Let's walk in love. How many of y'all believe in 2021, in the society that we live in today, we need to walk in love?
Big time. Big time.
So today we're going to talk about tearing down the fence.
Yep.
Look at your neighbor and say it. It's time to tear down some fences.
Time to tear down some fences.
We were in gym class spin class the other day. And I'm offended you invited me to that, because my legs were like noodles afterwards. But while we were there, we had a friend come to spin class come to church. And she was telling us, I got to come back next week because I want to learn how to tear down the fence. Mm-hmm. And the thing that what came out of her mouth, she said, oh, man, that sounds like work. How many of y'all know it's going to take some work? It's going to take some work, and it ain't going to happen overnight, but I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit on your life, you can tear down some fences that have been there for way too long. I don't care how much concrete, brick, mortar, as Pastor Brandy talked about, I don't care how long it's been there and settled there, it can be gone in Jesus' name. Amen?
Kick that fence down.
That's right.
How fun is it to demolish things? You like to demolish stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you get a big old sledgehammer and just knock it down. Isn't it fun?
It's fun. Absolutely.
It releases some stuff in your life.
Glory to God.
Yes, yeah, some man stuff. But us women, we like to get in there too. As long as we don't get too dirty, we like to kick down the fence too.
Amen. And can I tell you this? I'm just going to go on a rant real quick about something that me and another cowboy was talking about this week. Parents, it's very important that you show your kids how to tear down the fence.
Yeah.
Parents, I'm going to tell you one more time. It's very important that you show your kids on how they tear down the fence, and you don't tear down the fence for them.
That's good.
I'm going to say it again. Till you get it and you understand it. You know what? I'm a better person today because of bullies. I'm a better person today because of bullies. The reason now bullies is a bad thing is because the Disney Channel has told you they're a bad thing. Can I tell you that we've gone over the line about it? I mean, there's things that now we have social media and those things don't go away. But can I tell you something? When I was a freshman in high school, and some of you are not going to like what I'm about to say, but I'm telling you, I'm a better person today because of bullies that were in my life. David was a better king because of Goliath.
Come on.
There was a boy. He was older than me. He was bigger than me. And I remember every day, man, he stuck my head in a toilet. He purple nurpled me. He called me names. He shoved me in lockers. How many of y'all experienced those ever from a bully before? I came home and I told my dad, I said, Dad, my dad was the principal of school. I said, Dad, Michael Johnson bullies me every day. He said, Son, you're going to have to hit him right in the nose. I'm not going to handle this for you. You're going to have to tear down the fence. So you know what I did? I got up on the bench inside the gym class, and I waited for him to get out of the shower. And I stood back like this, and I came right here back from the south, and I clocked him as hard as I could. Boom. He fell like Goliath, went to the ground. When he got up, I ran to the coach. I ran like the wind blows too, man. But I'm going to tell you, me and Mike Johnson are friends today. We're friends today. He sent me a message here a while back on Facebook. Remember when you hit me in the nose? Absolutely. I'm a better person for it today. And I'm not promoting violence. Hear me out. I'm promoting. Can you imagine today if there was a draft with our kids? Can I bring my mommy? No, I'm talking about 18-year-old men would say, can I bring my mommy? I can't walk through that field. It has pollen in that field. I'm allergic. Come on. Who am I talking to this morning? We've got to teach our kids how to tear down a fence. You know what? And that's the problem. The society we're living in today, we rely on people to bail us out. That's exactly what they want right now. They want you to rely and our children to be indoctrinated on people to bail you out. You need to teach your children on how to bail themselves out and to cast all their care on the Lord, for He cares for you. He'll give you wisdom. I'm so thankful I had a mom and dad, and I'm trying to do the same thing today. You know what? Let's cast all our care on the Lord. Yesterday morning, Anson, he had a bad dream. And we came in. We said, you know what? I'm so glad that you told us this. This is an opportunity for us to cast all our care on the Lord, for He cares for us. I'm not going to rely on mommy. There's a time where we have to, but I'm seeing 20 and 25-year-old boys still living in the basement of their home. It's time to get out, spread your wings, get kicked out of the nest, and learn how to do some things in Jesus' name. Amen? Come on, Bobby. Woo! Now, if I hurt your feelings, this is how we're gonna tear down the fence.
In John 11, it's the story of when Lazarus died, and Martha and Mary sent for Jesus to come and heal him because he was sick. And you know the story; he didn't come, and Martha got offended, and she said when she saw Jesus and he finally came, she said, "Lord, if you would have only been here." And I want to tell you guys, how often do you get offended and you say, Lord, if you would have only been here, I wouldn't have been offended. If you would have only been there, I would have been offended. But I believe that this morning God's going to come and bring those dead things, those dead relationships back to life that you've been offended at, that you've been hurt at. He's come to heal that offense. He's come to heal it this morning, and I believe that He's going to do that through this message.
Because we serve the God of resurrection.
Yes, we do.
Amen?
Amen.
I don't care how long it's been dead. We serve the God of resurrection. In 2 Samuel chapter 10, just going along with that, you know, there may be some relationships that have died. It may have even been in the church. And lots of times our mentality is not in the church. But I'm telling you, Jesus said offenses will come.
Yeah.
And in 2 Samuel chapter 10, the king of the Ammonites, he has died, and David sends two of his mighty warriors, Ammon and Aram. And he sends them, there to console the king and said, you can put them to use however you want to. And the Bible tells us that the king takes offense to this and says, you've came to spy out my land. So they took him, shaved off half their beard, and cut their robes off at their waist where everything was showing. The Bible says they were humiliated. And I'm here to tell you this morning, even though you might be doing the work of the king, even though you might be working in the nursery, even though you might be in the parking lot, even though you might be greeting people, even though you might be in the youth department or up here on the stage, it doesn't mean that offenses still won't come.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that again. Lots of times our mentality, I got offended at the church. Well, I'm telling you, the church is full of broken people. You know what the church needs is broken people so they can have a Jesus that puts them back together. Lots of times we have no grace for the people inside the church, or even have no grace for the pastor that's speaking. But I'm here to tell you, the church ought to be full of hurt people.
Yeah.
Come on, how many of y'all have ever been hurt in the church before? Just be honest. How many of y'all have ever been broken in the church before? I'm telling you, the foundation of this place is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So how many times you've been broken, or how many times you've been offended or hurt, I'm telling you, He'll piece you back together. And what He'll do is give you a heart to not be offended at the little things no more.
Amen.
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 Well, Luke 23 in verse 34 in the Amplified, it says, Jesus was saying this, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing his clothes among them. You know, Jesus is the greatest example to you and me of someone who walked in forgiveness. That's ultimately the goal. But how many of y'all know it's going to be hard to get there? And so the first thing we want to talk about today, I'm going to talk about what we need to do. And Pastor Brandy's going to give us some examples on how we get to that place. Number one is this. Write this down if you're going to tear down the fence. Pray for the offender. Look at your neighbor and say, pray for him. In Luke 6, 27 and 28, it says, but I say to you who hear me and pay attention to my words, love that is unselfishly seek the best or higher good for your enemies. Make it a practice to do good to those who hate you. And bless and show kindness to those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. What did it say? Pray for those that have mistreated you. Can I tell you this? It's not for them, it's for you. Yeah. I'm going to say it one more time. It's not for them, it's for you. Yeah. What it will begin to do is begin to soften your heart. It's an antibiotic to the disease that you've taken on in your life. Some of you know offense is a disease. Unforgiveness is a disease. What we need to pray is, see, in the beginning, you might say, yeah, I'll pray for them all right. I pray they get COVID. I pray they get boils all over their skin. I pray they die, you know. Don't look at me judgmental. You probably thought it before. But can I tell you, in the beginning, it may be hard, but can I give you some examples of what to do? Pray that whatever has caused them to hurt you, fix it.
Yes.
Pray whatever's caused, and also, too, as you pray for them that, and I'm telling you, God will begin to soften your heart towards them.
Yeah.
Pray that what's ever broken them would be put back together in Jesus' name. Pray whatever has hurt you, whatever thing is hurting them and bringing pain to them, Lord, I pray that you are the mender and that you will heal their mind and heal their body. Pray this. Pray that their family would be saved. Pray that their family would live a life of righteousness and come back to the land of the living. See, what happens is, as you begin to pray to God, you connect with him. And when you connect with him, let me tell you something. He loves you and he loves the person that offended you. And when you get a heart in connection with prayer, it'll begin to break that spell, that curse off of you.
Yep. And another thing with the prayer is when I was trying to forgive somebody one time, and I think you probably laughed at me, but I changed their contact to Lisa, I forgive you. Because every time they sent me a message, I was like, did they not realize they ripped my heart out and broke my heart? And so I had to change their name in my phone to Lisa, I forgive you. And so that was opening that door so that when I was praying for them, I knew that I forgave them because I've already declared it. And so it was easier to pray for that relationship to be healed because I put that contact in my phone. Now, you don't want to show everybody, look, I put this contact in here. It was just a healing process for me so that I made that choice to forgive that person. But whenever we don't have things in our life that are right, our bodies are out of alignment. Like when I had catch, Travis tried to rip off my leg. And I've had some issues with that. Some alignment issues in that hip, and I can tell whenever it's out of place. It's hard to walk. It's hard to function. And whenever my hip's hurting, it's like my whole mood changes, huh? I mean, just like my face goes white and pale, and I can't walk, and I'm in just so much pain, and the kids want something from me, and I'm like, leave me alone. My hip hurts. And so that's how it is in our relationships is that when we are out of alignment and we're walking in offense with somebody, it's hard to get past those things. It's hard to function. And, you know, just think about a car. When a car is out of alignment, maybe you haven't had a hip or a back out of alignment. You know every time you get in that car is out of alignment and it needs some work in it. And so you got to put the work in it and you've got to do some things to fix that alignment. Because when you're out of alignment, it's hard to be successful in anything that you do. Everybody can tell when I'm in pain. When I walk into the church and my hip's bothering me, people are asking me what happened, and I'm grumpy. He tried to rip my leg off 4 years ago. And so
pray for me.
Yes, I'm right. No, pray. Please forgive him for ripping my leg off. He did not know what he was doing. He was so excited. He just couldn't handle it. And so in Philippians 3:17, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example." We've got to change some things in our life. We got to pattern our life after Jesus. We've got to forgive other people. And just as Jesus forgave us, we got to forgive others. Amen?
So the first thing is pray for them. And as you begin to pray for them, you'll get in alignment with the Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Number two is this. We got to address the problem. Address the problem. This is how you deal with it. In Matthew 18 and verse 15, Amplified, it says, "If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private." Do you hear that? Mm-hmm. In private. "If he listens and pays attention to you, you have won back your brother." Can I tell you this? Address the problem. And it's very important that when you address the problem, go to them in private. Bring them to the side. And say, because can I tell you this? Lots of times, you may be offended at something, and they have no clue that you're offended at them. Yeah. Going back to last week, they're not raised like you were raised. Mm-hmm. They don't have the same perspectives that you have. And so when you go to that person and say, "Hey, what you did," and when you go to them and address the problem, can I tell you how to do it? Don't put it on Facebook. Don't address the problem on social media. Don't address the problem by doing this. "Well, I'm going to address the problem. I'm going to go to someone who lives inside of their house, and I'm going to talk to them about it." Because what I'm going to do, or don't vent to your best friend or to your mama. Because all we do when we vent is we're trying to get somebody that is siding with us. And now all you're doing is now building a fence not only between that person, but you've got somebody else that you're building a fence with. Come over to the dark side. Because we ain't going to pick somebody that's going to stretch us and say, "Hey, no, you're wrong and you're offended." I'm going to say that one more time. We ain't going to pick somebody that's going to tell us, "No, you're wrong. You need to get over this and you need to move past this." No, we're going to find somebody to vent with that's going to side with us. "No, you do need to be mad." "No, I hope they get COVID too." You're right. They're wrong. Address the problem. And when you address the problem, this is what you need to do.
Well, also on venting, I know that whenever you start venting and sharing your feelings, it's like reliving that same hurt over and over. So you're not helping the healing when you tell everything that person did. It's all those emotions come right back up, and every time you share it, you get more offended, more hurt, and it's harder to break that fence down because you've told everybody. And then when you get over it and you walk in forgiveness, now you have to go tell Jenny, like, "Hey, you've got to forgive him because I'm over that." And they may not get over it as fast as you do. And so when you go to that person, make sure that you don't accuse. We've been in some really awkward meetings before where they come in and they get their finger in their face and they said, "You did this." And they say, "This is exactly how it happened and this is how it went down." You know, we saw a lot of that at camp. You take a whole bunch of teenagers on hormone and you got a lot of finger pointing at what happened and what went wrong. And so this is what you did and this is how you made me feel, you know. And I say that about teenagers, but us adults are just as guilty as the teenagers, you know. We don't like to admit it, but I've seen adults act just as crazy as teenagers, and I've probably acted just as crazy as teenagers. But in Matthew 7:1-3, and this is in the Passion. I love this in the Passion. It says, "Refuse to be a critic full of bias towards others, and judgment will not be passed on you, for you will be judged by the same standard that you used to judge others. The measurement you use on them will be used on you. Why would you focus on the flaw in somebody else's life, yet fail to notice the glaring flaws on your own life. And I see this a lot of times in kids' church, being back there with kids. Leaders will come and say, look at that kid, the way they behave. And they are very critical of the way they act. And I tell them, I know some things about that kid that you don't know about that kid, and that's why that child is acting that way. And I just told a teacher that several months ago about this one child. And then I came home to Pastor Travis, and I was like, I cannot believe this lady acted this way. Like, she's 30 years old, and I can't believe that she would do that. And then it hit me. I don't know what's going on in her life. I don't know that she doesn't have something traumatic happening to her, and that's why she's acting out on that behavior. So kids are a lot like adults. So a lot of times you've got to have that grace and realize you don't know what's going on in their life. We as adults, we tend to keep all of it in, don't we? And nobody knows what's going on with us. But as kids, you know, the parents tell you what's going on. So we got to understand we don't know where people are coming from and why they act the way they do. Number three, forgive as you have been forgiven. In Colossians 3:13, it says, bearing graciously with one another and willing to forgive each other if one has cause for complaint against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, you should forgive. We have to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. And too often we think that somebody else's sins or their mistakes are greater than ours. But it's not. God sees us the same. He loves us. And sin is sin, and mistakes are mistakes to God. And so we have to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us.
And in every situation, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. I've said this many times before. Unforgiveness is like the person that you have unforgiveness toward. Is like setting them on fire and you dying of smoke inhalation.
No,
setting
baby,
them on fire.
No, it's setting yourself on fire and hoping they die.
Oh, that's right.
Sorry.
Don't say my own comments. Setting yourself on fire.
When you preach.
I'm offended.
I listen when you preach.
You do. Setting yourself on fire and praying that they die of smoke inhalation. Is that not true? I mean, y'all know people that they just can't forgive. They just can't forgive. They can't do it. They can't give. I tell you what, it's written all over them. It's written all over them. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. When people are bitter, I can tell. I can spend 5 minutes with them and tell that they are bitter. Yeah. And it breaks my heart. It really does. And I'll tell you, for some people, this is going to be easier than others. Because of maybe the way that you were raised. I'm thankful I was raised in a home. I mean, I'll be honest with you, this isn't something that I deal with, but I deal with people all the time that are holding on the thing. I mean, let's let go of what happened 10 years ago. Let's let go of what happened 15 years ago. Let's pin it to the cross in Jesus' name. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. And I know that's easier said than done, but I want to bring something up, and I'm going to go ahead and ask the band or the person playing music to come at this time. John in Kentucky, play for us right now. But forgive as you have been forgiven. Lots of times we think this, if I truly walk in forgiveness, and I'm going to bring freedom to somebody this morning. Forgiveness is for your heart. Forgiveness is for you. Now, you can't make the actions of somebody else, but for you to make a fort around and living in the bed of unforgiveness, I'm telling you, God doesn't want you to live that way. God wants you to live in freedom. You still can't make the choices for that in-law. You still can't make the choice for that neighbor. You still can't make the choice for even blood, I mean, close blood family. But I'm gonna bring something to you that this morning, and I had revelation of this years ago, because people thought to themselves, if I forgive, I just got to open that door of heartache right back in for that person to come in and mistreat me. How many of y'all know that is not the way to live? I don't care how good looking he is. If he treats you like a dog and he does not treat you biblically like a wife, don't open the door to that anymore. I'm going to say that again. Some of y'all need to be free of that. Don't open the door of that. We do need to pray for them. We need to do all of these things and don't accuse. But can I tell you, lots of times people just have this mantra, just like in the body of Christ, that's the one place I didn't think I'd be offended, but that's the place I did. After you walk in forgiveness, before you replenish, see repentance. Before you replenish, see repentance. Come on, I believe this by the Spirit of God. As we were sitting there last night praying about this, the Lord reminded me of this, and the best story of this is found with Joseph. You know the story of Joseph. He was ran through the mud. He was the 11th boy of 12 children of Israel, or the 12 children of Jacob. God's favor was upon his life, and he goes out to the field one day where all his brothers are, and he had a dream. He had the coat of many colors. Because of the jealousy that they had on his life, they threw him inside of a pit, and they sold him to a gypsy or to a slave. And he takes him to Potiphar's house. And inside of that house, he gets betrayed again. He has the opportunity of offense. He gets thrown in prison. He goes to the top. Favor of God is upon his life. And I don't care how many times you've been ran through the mud, God's favor. Come on, somebody needs to hear that. When God's favor lasts for a lifetime, the Bible says. And when you honor the Lord, you open the door to favor in your life. And he continued to honor the Lord. And here he was. In fact, his name was said Savior of the world. He had a dream, and he told the Pharaoh at the time, and he says, if you begin to do these things, I believe that it will save this country. So where his brothers were and where his dad was, they were in a famine, but they had food at Pharaoh's house where Joseph was. They come to see Joseph. You got to understand this about Joseph. Joseph now, he had gone from a Hebrew and taken on the liking of an Egyptian. He had a shaved head. He had all the facial hair. He had all the distinction of an Egyptian. He spoke Egyptian. When his brothers came, they speak Hebrew, but he spoke Hebrew as a boy. They didn't even recognize him, but he recognized them. That just goes to show, people may not even recognize that they offended you, but you recognize the offense in them. And so what happens is, you know the rest, those of you that read the word and know this story, his brothers show up to get food, and he has so much hurt, and he locks them inside of a prison. And while they're in there, listen, they said to one another, truly we are guilty regarding our brother. See, at first, he was still offended. I believe he had walked in forgiveness, but he didn't want to open the door for that hurt to rip off the Band-Aid again. And so he had them put them in a prison because we saw the distress and the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, yet we would not listen. So this distress, anguish has come on us. Reuben answered them, did I not tell you, do not sin against the boy, and you would not listen? Now the accounting for his blood is required of us, for we are guilty of his death. Or it says, they did not know what Joseph understood because he spoke to them through an interpreter. He turned away from his brothers, wept, then he returned and talked with them, took Simeon from them, and bound him in front of them. See, he opened the door back up, and you can read the rest of the story. He invites his brothers and his dad back into his life. But he didn't just open the door for him to get hurt again. He waited till he heard repentance from their heart. Can I tell you the same thing according, I believe, to the Word of God? Lots of times we think, forgiveness, I'm just going to open the door right back up in my home, let them right back in. I'm going to invite them over for fried chicken. No, we got to guard our heart too. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. I'm not going to set myself up to go right down the rocky road that I just got off of. It doesn't mean that I didn't walk in forgiveness. It doesn't mean that I don't stop praying for them. It doesn't mean that I stop addressing the problem. I'm not saying that. But I'm here to tell somebody this morning, forgiveness happens inside of your heart. And forgive them as the Lord forgave you. Forgive them as the Lord forgave you. You know, I think about Jesus. Everybody turned their back on him. It was right in the middle of the offense. It was right in the middle of being spit on. It was right in the middle of a crown of thorns on his head. It was right in the middle of a nail through his feet. It was right in the middle of being betrayed and called names that he wasn't. It was right in the middle of the cat of nine tails across his back and carrying the cross all the way where it was. It was right in the middle of even religious, godly people that accused him, a man who was completely innocent. It was right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of the offense, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. Come on, let's stand to our feet this morning. Just be vulnerable this morning. Who's in the middle of offense right now? Own it. Keep your hand up. Right in the middle of the offense, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Forgive as you've been forgiven. God, I pray for these right now that are vulnerable to say, you know what, God, that's me. That's me. I pray for the power of God to go into operation right now. Lord, I pray that they would take these steps and tear down the fence. Oh, in Jesus' name, I pray that offenses are being torn down by the power of your Spirit. Come on, we get an agreement that offenses are being torn down in Jesus' name. God, I just pray that they would learn this morning, see the importance of praying for that offender. Lord, I pray that they would lift them up to you. God, I pray that you would give them grace and the ability and eyes to see, that they would not stoop down to the level of the world on how to deal with it. But Lord, I pray that they would go from glory to glory, faith to faith, and Lord, you would give them eyes to see through a heavenly perspective this situation. Give them a heart for that broken person. Give them a heart for that hurting person. But also too, God, may growing up happen in these that have their hands raised. Growing up happen. That they cast all their care on you, for you care for them. That it doesn't matter what that other person said. It doesn't matter what they did. What matters is what you said, God, and what you did. I pray that they would see themselves in Christ.
I feel like the Lord saying, He sees you. He sees you in those places where you're all alone and you're crying and you're so hurt. You're so broken. You feel so alone. Maybe you're laying in bed at night and you're crying, just wishing that this pain would leave, wishing that maybe you weren't here on the earth anymore, and that's the only reason that that pain would leave, is if you didn't exist anymore. Or maybe you think to yourself, if I wasn't here, then they couldn't hurt me anymore. But I want you to know that God loves you. He sees you. It breaks his heart when you think those thoughts about yourself. It breaks his heart to see that you're hurting and that you're broken, because he wants to see you restored and he wants you to put your trust in him. Men aren't perfect, like we've said, but peace comes from Jesus. Peace comes from that sweet relationship with him. He says, call on his name and he will answer. So I just ask that you just call on the name of Jesus when you're hurting. When you're in that place of brokenness, call on the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, is going to come down in that moment and heal your heart and give you peace that you never thought that you would have. That he'll wrap his arms around you and he'll give you confidence in him. He wants to restore you. He doesn't want to see you broken.
If that word's for you, I believe, Pastor Brandy, I think you need to lay hands on him and pray for him. That word's for you. You've had that. If if I just wasn't here, it's going to take boldness to do this. But let me tell you, we're a village here this morning. We're here to lift you up. Who is that? Who is that? I believe somebody's here. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If you're in this room today and you say, you know what, Pastor? I'm away from the Lord. Maybe you were offended at God at one time, and because of that, you've dropped your relationship with God. You're no longer in a relationship with Him. Pay attention this morning. Maybe you're in here and you don't have a relationship with Christ. Can I give you good news this morning? All of us in this room were separated from the Lord. All of us in this room at one time, the Bible talks about we were dead and separated from God. We're all children of wrath. But the Word says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy and grace. I'm telling you, government may never forgive you. Your grandma and your grandpa may never forgive you. You may have a husband that never forgives you, but can I tell you something? It don't matter what you've done. We serve a God that forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. There's just a thing that He asks us to do, and it's this. We admit that we're a sinner, that we've missed the mark, that we're separated from God. The second thing is believe that He died, He was buried, and on the third day He rose again. He had come live on the inside of you. And the third thing is this. Confess Him as your Lord. And can I tell you this morning? He come live on the inside of you. He'll make you new. He'll set you free. You can be a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rolling, born again, heaven-bound believer in the liberated power in Jesus' name. If you're in here, you're not a part of the family of God, but today you want to make that decision to come back to the land of the living. Maybe you've broken contract, or maybe you don't have a relationship with Him at all. The Bible tells us this, is when we pray this and we do this, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we are a new creation in Christ. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. What He does is on your old life, He throws the tape away. He throws the tape away and He gives you a brand new life, a brand new hope. So with every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're under the sound of my voice and I'm talking to you this morning, if that's you, you're away from God. You need to get back in contract with Him. Or maybe you're in here today and you say, you know what? I've never had a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but today I want to do that. Pray this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I'm away from You. But God, this morning, I believe that You died, You were buried, and on the third day, You showed resurrection power. I believe in You, Jesus. And today, I pray for dead things to come to life. And the dead things that need to stay dead, stay dead. I confess You as my Lord. Come live in my heart. From this day forward, I'll serve You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.